Hey, you're listening to the Smoked Meat Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Pittman. Smoked Meat's brought to you by Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. They make you feel so great the first time you walk in, make you feel like family, and every time after that. To go on in, make some new friends, hang out with some old ones, just go have a good time. Remember, I goes to Joe's and so should you. That's Joe's Underground in the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. Today, my guest is Brian Sebastian, host of Movie Reviews and More, and he is such a great guy. We had so much fun, and I love watching his channel. I'm going to have a link to it down in my show notes. Y'all make sure you go to it and check him out. Such a wonderful guy, loves giving people chances, and it's just, he's helped so many great folks that I just love him. He's a great guy. Y'all enjoy this. We're going to get this beast kicked off here on Smoked Meat. Hey, so how you doing today, Brian?
I'm doing good. We're doing what we can to help other people.
Exactly. Exactly, man. And I'm happy to have you on my show. You know, Eileen told me you were coming, and I was excited. You know, I started doing my research, and, you know, it's funny. You've got a very common name. I'm not sure if you know this or not.
Really?
Yes. Google Brian Sebastian. Oh, yes. But, you know, I talked to Eileen a little bit, and of course I've talked to you, and I was like, yes, I got the right Brian Sebastian. I'm so happy.
But, well, yeah. Here's what I found out about Google. Google doesn't tell you everything because it could come up underneath Movie Reviews and More. Yeah. It could come up as Brian Sebastian, CEO, Movie Reviews and More, or Movie Reviews and More and Brian Sebastian, because it comes up different ways that it's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just one of the things I do, and I check all kind of places and do a lot of homework on these things because it's funny. I interviewed Mickey Burns, and, you know, he does the show Profiles.
Yeah, I like him.
He's interviewed everybody. And I almost cut this segment out of our episode, but I decided no, because I'm human and I got schooled on my own show. It was the nicest scolding I've ever gotten. I'm not sure it was actually meant to be a scolding. But he told me all kind of good stories and was telling me about his book. And toward the end, I said, you know, I've not read the book yet, but I am going to read it. And he said, I've got one more story for you. And he was telling me about a celebrity who had done a book, and he was going to be on his show. And somebody emailed him a radio interview and said, you need to listen to this first. So he listened to it, and the guy said, hey, I'm from WSO-so-so. Glad to have you on here. And the guy said, so have you read my book? And the guy's like, not yet. And all you hear is click. And I'm like, oh, man, I just got smacked around on my own show, but I deserved it wholeheartedly. And I learned, I like to do good research because it is respect for my guests.
True.
But yeah, that was so funny because I almost cut it out of the episode. And I'm like, no, you were an idiot. You're going to pay for it. The man.
No, you leave it all on because it's something that's recorded, and that's a good thing.
Exactly. The only editing I do is I may change our levels a little bit, but I record an intro and put a little music under that, and that's all my editing. So I figure all the ums and the breathing and the coughs and everything else, that's flavor. That is what it is. It makes it where it's not like, so, Brian, tell me about this. You know, that's garbage. I hate the canned radio thing. No. Nah.
Right, yeah.
But no. But I know you, like I say, you do the movie reviews. I am a movie freak. I love all kind of movies. Me and Netflix, and Amazon Prime, Tubi and Crackle, and I think Hulu and Comcast have gotten along really, really well during this pandemic.
That's good to know.
Oh, yeah.
Because now I'm going to test you on your movie knowledge.
All right. Hey, I'm ready, man. I am ready. When I interviewed Robert Wall, I interviewed him. He actually interviewed me for 30 minutes, which was awesome. So I'm up for anything.
Robert's funny.
Oh, I loved him. He was so great. When he comes to Atlanta, I've got to feed him ribs.
That's funny.
Yep. I make an open invitation. Anybody I interview when they get to Atlanta, call me. I will feed you.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you're not too far from where my mom lives, so I'm going to take you up on that.
Hey, I've got a 25-pound brisket sitting at my house in Thompson waiting on me, so I'm ready to do some cooking.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And my brisket's awesome because I do a coffee rub on it.
Uh-huh.
I do it nice and slow, do it for about 16 hours. Oh, yeah. It's a wonderful thing.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. If I can't do anything else, I can cook. That's for sure. When I'm finished recording today, I'm going to go put about 6 pounds of beef jerky on my dehydrator.
So, wow.
Yeah. I've always got something going.
Well, you have to with the job that you do.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I love cooking for them. Last night we finished up a big pan of lasagna that I made for my captain's birthday. I made it Friday and we just finished it last night. And it was good. And it was a hurry up lasagna. It wasn't my all day lasagna, but it was still good. But yeah, my all day lasagna, I have to get up early in the morning to do it. But I grind the meat. I do my own special blend of meats. I do the pasta by hand. I make the sauce by hand, and I make the cheeses. So it's a long process, but it's worth it. It's so good.
Wow.
But oh yeah. Well, speaking of cooking, a movie I know you've probably seen. Have you seen Chef? John Favreau.
Oh yes, with John Favreau.
Yeah, that was so good. And you know he got hardcore into it. He's still like really does it.
Well, the good thing about John's come a long way. You know, you think of John, you think of Vince Vaughn, and look where their careers are now from, you know, man, Swingers. Yeah. You know, I couldn't be happier for the both of you because I was there when the first film came out interviewing them. And look what John's career is as a director.
Yeah.
Doing Iron Man. He is that franchise. He's part of Marvel. Think about that.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of those things, they actually film like 8 miles from my house. You know, I live right close to Pinewood Studios. And that's where
I haven't been to
that
studio. That, I mean, I haven't had a reason to go over there to do that, but I always wanted to go visit it.
Yeah, I haven't been to the studio, but across the street from it, they've got, of course, their offices. And they've got Hanna Brothers Studio Cafe. And they have got the best breakfast there. Oh my God, it's like $15, but it's a breakfast buffet. And of course they've got the guy that does the omelets in front of you, and he makes the best omelets. Oh man, his omelets are just legendary. But I love going in there, and I haven't gotten to go in probably about 6 months, and that bugs me because I really want to go back because it's funny.
Well, that's good though.
Yeah, and you never know who you're going to be in there eating with, you know. And a lot of people who are behind the scenes, you know, different directors and things like that, you know, a lot of people know their work and know their name, but they don't know their face. So, I mean, for all you know, you're sitting here next to Martin Scorsese or something. There's no telling
who you're
with. And
that's why you have to always be nice to people, because you never know.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you know, it's really cool. You know, I'll take my kids in there sometime. They're teenagers now, and they love it. It's just a great place, you know. And Georgia's doing so much with entertainment now. You know, we've got Tyler Perry Studios that just opened. And when I first moved up here, I decided to get out of medicine and I started cooking. And I actually cooked in Sonoya where they filmed The Walking Dead. And Greg Nicotero and Norman Reedus have a restaurant there called Nick and Norman's, and that's where I cooked. You could open our back door and hit the Alexandria set with a rock.
Wow.
So that was really cool. The one thing I hated about cooking there, though, was everybody and their brother asked me, can you get me Norman Reedus' autograph? And I always tell them, no. One, I've never seen him. And two, I'm not going to ask my boss for his autograph.
No, it's not. It's not appropriate. And the other thing is you just don't know what they're going through, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny, the restaurant doesn't have the Walking Dead theme in it. It's a lot of his art and a lot of things like that is the theme for the restaurant. So I'm sure when he comes in there, he wants to get away from that. You know, he don't want to be Daryl.
He wants
to be Norman.
Exactly. And, you know, people don't realize when it comes to that, how many times people are asking them for an autograph or something. Now it's even more difficult to do because of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I've heard he's a really nice guy, and he probably would have signed anything that I wanted him to. But I'm not going there, you know. That's the man's business. Leave him alone.
Yes, exactly.
He does not want his fry cook asking for an autograph. Talk about your ultimate SpongeBob impersonation. Mr. Reedus, will you sign this? No, I'm good. That's the worst SpongeBob I've ever done. I'm kind of ashamed of it. But I'm not going to edit it out. So people now will never ask me to do SpongeBob. Oh, man. So on the subject of movies again, and I know this is one that you probably get a million times, so I'm not going to ask you what your favorite movie is, because there's no way to answer that one. But I know for a fact you've got to have one that just makes your skin crawl. It is so bad and so horrible.
Well, if you're the way you're describing it, so you would lead me into horror, so I would say Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, I'm just talking about like just the worst movie you've ever seen. It was like something where
the worst movie.
Yeah.
Well, no, I actually have that. It's not Super Mario Brothers, but it is.
It's got to be bad.
You have to understand. Okay, so for example, last year I only saw 1,300 films last year. That's my worst year ever.
Mm-hmm.
My best year was 2,021 films.
Mm-hmm.
So on home video, if I'm watching 700 to 712, I've never done 713,
mm-hmm.
meaning I've watched it on my computer, on anything out of home, links, DVD that they would send to me. Yeah. Or else, and then I have them on videos. I keep them separate, and then I add up the total.
Yeah.
So from all those years that I've been watching them since 1991, I've been keeping track since 1992. And the reason I started keeping track, because I didn't know how many movies I watched in 1991. Mm-hmm. So think of all those movies that I've watched. Like I said, only 1,300 last year. So the worst one I ever saw, and I remember it, you know, it was called, it wasn't Unbelievable. It was like Unforgettable, something like that. It was just, and I'm always worried when someone says, you're going to love this movie ahead of time, and then it's almost like a curse when they say that. You want to always say, I hope you will enjoy the film, please.
Yeah.
Because everybody has different tastes.
Yeah.
And if it's during the day or at night, and if you had a bad day, well, you got to make sure that people are in the mood to see that particular movie. If you had a bad day, you want to see a comedy to take you out of that, as you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is just a movie. I had saw one before that, and I just kind of knew I was just being set up for it. I'm like, oh my God, this was the worst movie. I can tell you where I was and all of that. To this day, it was that movie.
Yeah.
I never forgot it.
I love it. And, you know, it tickles me. A lot of movies, just the timing or different things when they come out, make it where you don't really see them until years later. And then you're like, man, how did I miss this? And, you know, like I've been in a couple of them just as extras, you know, no big deal, because we were on scene as the ambulance and they needed a paramedic. So, of course, I'm going to volunteer. And the first one I was in, you remember a movie called Fled with Lawrence Fishburne and Stephen Baldwin?
Oh, yes. Yep. That was not. Yeah. Yep. I remember that one.
It wasn't Citizen Kane, but it was still a good movie. I enjoyed it. But their fatal flaw was they came out the same weekend as Independence Day.
That's right.
That killed it. Oh, man. But that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And I got to meet a lot of really cool people. Lawrence Fishburne actually probably still owes me a pack of cigarettes.
he actually talked to you, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. They were all so nice. You know, he would be on set and he knew I smoked, because I've never hidden it from anybody. You know, I look at it this way. I'm grown. You're not buying them. I don't owe you money. Leave me alone. And, he couldn't carry anything in his pockets, obviously, because he's in costume or wardrobe. Yeah. And he'd come up and, yo, man, let me bum a square. So I'd give him a cigarette. And that was just so cool, you know, that little connection right there.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably, if he hears this, he's probably going, what the hell is he talking about? But yeah, it is what it is, you know. But it was fun. And movies are such a huge part of life. I mean, they can take you away. They can just put you in a different place for a couple of hours. And my wife, she likes to watch movies, but I'll watch something with zero plot, you know, just to get away. I don't have to think about anything for 2 hours. I'm good. She doesn't like that, but I love it. You know, I'm one of those dumb movie guys. If it's a dumb movie, I'll watch it just to be watching it. And I found some pretty good little hidden gems like that. But
you know, you got me thinking of bad movies. That's interesting.
And there's one a friend of mine told me about I want to see as a horror movie. And I've heard that it is one of the just most horrific horror movies in the world. And from what I've seen of it, I'm kind of tending to lean that way. Have you seen The Human Centipede?
Yes, but the first one was interesting. The third one wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was obviously a continuation of it.
Yeah, the little bit I've seen, I really want to see the first one.
Which one did you see?
No, well, I haven't seen any of them. I've seen little bits and pieces of the first one and some of the stories of it, and I really want to see that. Just because
you know what you should see is see the first one,
mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because you have to be creative to put that together like that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, for how they did it for that long, you know, you're just thinking of it.
Yeah. So I want to see this movie. I've got to. I'm making it a mission to do it. And, you know, I love things like that that just make you go, what the hell? Or, you know, movies are so awesome because, like I say, it's an escape. And anybody tells you they don't like movies at all, 99.9% of the time, they're lying. They like movies. I actually got my partner to admit to liking dance movies the other night, and it was awesome because I caught him off guard. He's a young kid. He's 22 years old. You know, EMT, macho, like all of us are. And I told him I interviewed somebody that had some songs on a dance movie, and he's like, oh, I know that song. That's a great movie. And he just kind of stopped like, oh, crap. I'm like, dude, I've watched Step It Up 50 times. It's okay. Relax. It's a movie.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I run the gamut. You know, I love Dirty Dancing. And I love Apocalypse Now. You know, hey, it is what it is. It's a movie. You know, and the people work so hard, you know, you don't realize how much work goes into these things. And it's, you know, the little videos I do just on YouTube are, man, it takes forever, it feels like. And I could imagine putting together something huge.
And that's one reason why I don't belittle the bad movies, because there's enough people who are going to do that.
Yeah.
I don't need to be one of those people because of all the people who worked on it. That's the real reason of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what's funny is even the bad movies are good movies, because as much smack as I talk about some of the bad ones, I can quote them.
That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, the movies are like sex. Even bad movies are good movies. That's my opinion.
Yes, because there's an audience for everybody. My old co-host would say, there's no right or wrong answers when it comes to movies.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and I've seen people who, you know, I mean, look at Bobcat Goldthwait. He's one of my favorite examples. You know, I'm sure you remember him from Police Academy, you know, his voice and the character he was. And that's the character he did for years on stage. And I listened to an interview with him, and he said, you know, I was getting tired of comedy. I almost quit. And then I realized it wasn't comedy I was tired of. It was that character. So he retired that character, and he's happy with it again, happy with comedy again. And he directs now. He also writes and produces.
Yeah, he's actually a good director.
He's very good. Have you seen his movie Willow Creek? The Bigfoot movie. I was in awe of that movie. I thought, okay, another found footage film. Yeehaw. Nope. That was a good movie. You know, horror movies don't usually scare me, don't make me jump or anything. I'm a believer in Bigfoot. I believe the Patterson-Gimlin footage is real. You know, there's something out there. I don't know what it is, but I believe in it. And the sounds and everything and the way he did that, you know, it was just, man. It amazed me. And, you know, that the scene where they're in the tent, that I think it was an 18-minute scene. When they were doing it, the guy that was playing the man in the movie, he asked him, said, you know, we could just be filming this in a parking lot because they were out there doing it. And he said, yeah, but you wouldn't be scared in a parking lot. It wouldn't be as real. And it shows, I mean, these people are terrified doing this scene because they didn't know everything that was going to happen. And, you know, he did the sounds in the movie and, you know, the Bigfoot sounds or supposed Bigfoot sounds I've heard on tapes and everything. I mean, right. He does such a great job with it. And it's so neat to understand that this is the same guy that was, 30 years ago. And,
wow.
Yeah, that just amazes me. And people just constantly surprise me in movies doing stuff like that. You know, you're used to them being this way, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're in this. And they're just killing it.
Huh.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and I just love that about them. But I know you're doing the Women on TV. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I originally said no twice because I didn't think they were ready. And then I wanted to make sure that I was ready because once I commit to something, then, you know, there's no going back.
Yeah.
So I have 11 co-hosts for what we do. They're all women. They're all very strong. They're, you know, when we get together, we have never all gotten together, almost all of us at one point. Now you know one of the new ones, Sherry Nelson, mm-hmm. out of British Columbia. But yep. We all like each other. So we, you know, the most we've got on our Zoom interviews was 5 of us. So I want the girls interviewing each other right now. But mm-hmm. what it is, it could be any show, but it's really, I like stuff that's sustainable, environmentally friendly.
Mm-hmm.
I want to help the, you know, gender empowerment. Women's causes and things like that. And then anything that I think is relevant, whether it's fitness, the world of sports, it could be fashion, fitness, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are what our shows are.
Yeah.
And that's why we call it movie reviews and more, because the more part is more important than the movie reviews these days.
Yeah.
Literally now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love Sherry. She is so awesome. I interviewed her and she is so great. Such a sweet girl. I mean to tell you, but, you know, talking about the sports and everything, I have a not really a controversial question, and some people think it is, but, you know, I'm going to preface it by saying transgender people, anything like that, cool, you know, do you, I'll do me. We're fine. Not a big deal. But what's your take on the guys who, you know, are transgender that compete in women's events and just because they've been a guy for 40 years and all of a sudden, boom, they're in this, they're just dominating. You know, to me, that's just odd.
Well, I interviewed one of the fighters in MMA. I can't remember what her name is now, but she got me big views.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that at the LA Fit Expo 5 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, but she's on my YouTube and they let her fight. It was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're a swimmer, whether you're in the world of fitness, I think it's one of those things where it's almost like when you're in a rehearsal or you're practicing, when you're fighting against the guys,
yeah.
You should be able to be better than the person you're sparring with, no matter who you are or what you are,
yeah.
And then go from it at that point.
Yeah.
So when it comes to that, is it the right thing to do? Hey, if you can get in there, go for it. Do you belong there? I don't know. It's up to that individual. I don't really know.
Yeah.
I would never want to deny a woman trying to break into an all man's club,
yeah.
Or someone who is transgender. I wouldn't do that, you know.
But yeah.
Because I know what it's like to be judged, if that makes sense.
It does. It does.
I know what it's like to walk fast down Tennessee, just to walk and be on my phone with my backpack and the cop coming and stopping me, you know,
mm-hmm.
for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand what a lot of people go through like that because some of them are friends and I've talked to them.
Yeah.
So when I interviewed her, I didn't think anything of it. I'm like, wow, if you went through that, I can only imagine what they went through behind the scenes. Because there's a lot of people that did not want that to happen, that did not want her to fight, because she used to be a man at that point. Now she is a man. She went through the operation and all that stuff. Mm. But you know what? She had a huge fan base, and I was impressed with that. But also, I'm sure I can imagine what she went through as a male and as a female. I wouldn't want to go through that, you know?
Yeah.
Just because of what you have to deal with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And it just, like I say, you know, I'm of the mind, do you, you know, as long as you're not hurting me, whatever. I can barely be my own thing, you know. Hell, I ain't going to be yours. And it's just weird to me. I have a hard time wrapping my head around it sometimes. But either way, you know, at the same point, you know, I could get in the ring with some of these, well, hell, most of the MMA people, male, female, whoever, and probably get the piss beaten out of me.
Well, like I said, you may or may not agree to this, but a lot of martial artists will tell you, women fighters are the stronger fighters.
Oh, dude, women fight dirty, man. I've seen that on the street. I'm telling you, man, I don't want any gang folks messing with me. I've nothing against them, whatever. But a female, no, dude, you will get hurt with two women fighting. You will get hurt bad.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But
it's almost like they're fighting to the death.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I say, man, I ain't jumping in there. Y'all finish and call me when somebody need to be scraped up. We're good. No, but that is my controversy for the year. I just passed a year on my show, so that was my controversy for the year.
Well, I hope I answered that for you.
You did. And
because I look at it this way. At one point, you know, they didn't want blacks playing football or basketball or hockey. You know, I remember talking to Willie Aree. He was the first person of color to play in the hockey league. And he's still alive. He's 82, 83. But people don't realize out of Canada, the fact that you play hockey, you're tough. But the fact that people didn't want you to play hockey because you were black, that's even tougher. But here's the third thing. He played basically with one eye. He got hit in the puck when he was in high school. So no one knew that he played 18 seasons in Canada and in the NHL, basically playing with one eye.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Imagine that. Yes, there's a documentary. It's a good documentary. It's called Willie. But his name is Willie O'Ree. He's still alive. So when it comes to that, imagine doing that. You know the game of hockey is tough. And you know certain people didn't want you to play at that point. But imagine playing with one eye.
Man.
And he never told anybody. Why? Because he loved playing the game and they wouldn't have let him play. So think about it that way. So you never know what people are overcoming to do what they're doing. The fact that they do that, I think that's accomplished risk within itself. Whether you're a woman wanting to fight to get in, well, practice harder and do all the stuff. And if you beat any of those guys, that says something right there. Because you are.
Yeah. And like I say, you know, you never know.
Not anything to be embarrassed. There's just, hey, remember, I don't know if you're how old you are, but remember at one point, they used to say the reason that black people could run so fast, they had an extra bone in their foot. Did you ever hear that one?
I never heard that one.
They used to say that. They used to say that in the South.
I've never heard that one. That's hilarious. I mean,
think about when Jesse Owens won, and he beat all the people in Nazi Germany.
Yeah, the master race.
He wouldn't have won the long jump if. And they became friends afterwards. If the German jumper had not told him, do it this way, try it this way. And because of that, he won his fourth gold medal. So, you know, Hitler walked out at that point.
Yeah.
And then he didn't come back the next day because he wasn't supposed to win.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the inferior race.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's the human spirit is such a magnificent thing because, like I say, you never know what somebody's gone through to get where they are.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
We've been talking, you know, between this and before the show for about 45 minutes now. And, you know, you'd never guess that I have the worst stutter in the world. Yep. When 5 years ago, I had two strokes and it gave me a horrible stutter. I mean, I make the water boy sound like he's, you know, Orson Welles.
And when, a water boy with Adam Sandler and Henry Winkler, that was a good movie.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes hard, man, I can't get rid of it.
But I fought it. If you could overcome something that says something, the fact that you've been able to overcome it, and even Joe Biden is a stutterer, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean you fully overcome it, but you work on it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, there's days, I mean, it may come in the next sentence. I don't know the triggers. I don't know when it's coming. I mean, it just, boom, it hits.
Some of it is nerves. Some of it is, you know, you could be getting older. It happens.
Well, part of it's the strokes, and part of it is 30 years worth of PTSD.
Right.
But, you know, the triggers, I would kill to know my triggers, but I can't. There's no specific things.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, and it happens like that, you know?
Yeah.
But the fact is, hey, you're doing something that you like to do. I don't care if you stutter. A lot of people, hey, people got into radio because they said they had a face for radio.
I do.
Look where Howard Stern is.
Oh, yeah.
Look where Larry King was and all those people like that.
Yeah.
You know, if you were Jewish, you weren't supposed to be doing a lot of stuff when you were Jewish. So, again, overcoming obstacles, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. You know, you talk about people not minding the stutter when, after I got it, you know, it went away for a while and it would come back here and there. And my daughters are teenagers, and this has been about four years ago. My oldest daughter had some of her friends over for a slumber party one night, and I was out there in the living room with them, everybody watching TV and playing all that good stuff, and it came back. So I went in my room and, you know, watched TV in there, and she came to check on me. And she said, "What's wrong?" And I stuttered to her. I said, "This is coming back. I don't want to embarrass you. You know, you just go have fun with your friends. I'm fine. You know, I just don't want to embarrass you." And she looked at me. She said, "No, if they don't like it, they can go home. This is your house. You're my dad. And I don't care that you stutter." And that made me feel so
good.
Great.
Good for you. Good for you.
Man, that made me feel so good. You know, I raised my girls right. And I went back out.
Well, and again, it goes back to it. There's people who were stutterers and they weren't supposed to run track or whatever, but they were good at what they did. They overcame an obstacle. Everybody has something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I look at it this way. Oprah. Oprah was never supposed to be where she is. At that point, who has a name called Oprah? Everybody in the world knows it was Oprah. You know, she was a black woman from the South who was heavyset. Yeah. Two against her. And then three, certain people didn't want a woman again. But look where she is now. She's a billionaire. Yeah. Everybody knows who she is. She's got her own network.
Yep.
And looking at it this way. There's hope for everybody, and you can overcome almost anything.
Definitely.
That is good.
I actually just read, I think today, that for after 20 years, her magazine is going to stop being in print. It's going to just be online now.
Yeah.
It's like, man, it just to have a magazine for 20 years is a big thing, but that's just like a tiny little minuscule piece of the whole empire. And like I say, you know, when Oprah came out, I had no idea who Oprah Winfrey was. And then all of a sudden, poof, everywhere. I mean, she worked it. She earned everything she's got. I mean, it ain't like anything was given to her.
No. And like I said, look what she did. She, you know, she had those three things going against her.
Yeah.
Yep. In a way, that might be worse than stuttering, because you could get over stuttering, but you can't change, you know, you can't change the color of your skin. Yeah. We could go that far, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I love when people do overcome things and do, you know, they chase their dreams and they chase what they want, because I learned a long time ago, nobody's going to give you anything in this world. Nothing's free. And,
absolutely, not at all.
Everything. You know, I had a patient who one time told me, they said, "Yeah, this ride's free." And I said, "No, it's not." "Oh, yeah, it is. I've got Medicaid." I said, "And who pays Medicaid?" "The government." "Who pays the government?" "I don't know." I said, "Taxpayers pay it. Everybody here is paying this bill because you just want a ride, which we're going to do because it's what we do. But understand, this ain't free."
No, it's not.
You know, growing up, we went to a military doctor's because my dad was retired military. And everybody would say, oh, you get free glasses, you get free health care. Oh, you talk about pissing my mother off. Oh, she would go off over that one. And I don't blame her. She said, there's nothing free. He earned every bit of this. And, yeah. You know, they did. So, you know, anybody that says that life is easy and everything's free, no. You got to work for stuff.
You do. It's not easy. And that's why I tell people, I tell everybody, yeah, everybody can do this, but not everybody can do it.
Yeah.
That means you've got to do it every day, every night. I've done, you know, the reason why I have 3.7 million views a day and counting out of Tennessee alone,
mm-hmm.
no one has what we have coming out of that. These are my personal views with the girls.
Yeah.
At that point, the first year was two girls. The second year, I came back with an extra girl. Now we're social media influencers. I couldn't be happier because we did it going out of the state of California into Tennessee and making it happen, shooting it in the garage on a green screen and getting the views and not even airing those shows on TV.
Mm-hmm.
With only three people who run the site. But that site, IT247 out of Franklin, Tennessee, gets 23 to 33 million views a month.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah. I'm happy you've worked and done it.
Well, like you said, it didn't come overnight. Our first show that we did there in Tennessee is because I chose a film with Edie Hand that I put in the Hollywood Film Festival in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes, Brian, you got to come down to Tennessee. You got to come down to Alabama and I'll do that. I'm like thinking, oh, okay. You know, not, you know, just like someone said, hey, come visit me in Norway. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, the chances of you going to Norway just out of the blue, that was like going to Tennessee. And the last time I was in Tennessee was in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go there in March, I'm like, wow, I was impressed with what the women, they were called Southern Swift, Southern Women in Film and Television, what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed with no money what these women were doing. They mm-hmm. did a better job than what we did with the Hollywood Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And I never forgot that. And I said, they flew me down here, put me up. I'm going to help them. I was honored by that fact because they didn't have to do that. It's because I chose Edie Hand's film, had to fight to get it into the Hollywood Film Festival, and it won some awards. And then when I got down there, I didn't realize that she's Southern royalty, which is why I called her my Southern mom. I was kind of joking when I did that. No, I, you know, when you're part of the Elvis Presley brand, just think of everybody that loves Elvis Presley around the world.
Yeah.
You think of Graceland. You think of the Grand Ole Opry. You think of everything.
Yeah.
The people that I met are my friends today because of her. So when I did that show, I had no idea I was going to get a million views by doing a show with her. Because she's a five-time cancer survivor. She wasn't supposed to be there. She drove 2.5 hours to just make it to be on the show with me. She didn't have to do that. We did six shows that day. Those five shows that are up, 3.7 million views a day and counting. We still got five shows that haven't been put up. That's just out of Tennessee alone. So imagine that. That was not supposed to happen to me. So I got people saying, how'd you do this? Well, here's the long story. There is no short story. There is no short story to anybody who made it.
Yeah.
If you think of what Michael Jordan did with The Last Dance, him and Phil, you know, I forgot the name of the coach, Phil, I can't remember his name right now, Dennis Rodman, all those people.
Mm-hmm.
It took a team effort. This is a team effort.
Yeah.
So the fact that you invited me on the show, I don't take those things lightly because we've all been there.
Yeah.
You never know where you're going to go. But you remember who went on your show when you first started, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Because we didn't have to, but we're supposed to. We're supposed to help other people.
Yeah, I mean,
that's very important.
A lot of people that I've dealt with, you know, in the podcast world, you know, I thought when I got into this, okay, there's not going to be any drama. I'm happy. And it's amazing the drama that can happen here. And it's people think it's a competition. I don't look at it that way.
It's not a competition. That's not what it is, you know?
You know, I could monetize this and probably make a nice little chunk off of it eventually, but I do it for mm-hmm. fun. I love helping. My first guest was a friend of mine named Jesse Suggs, who I've helped in comedy.
Right.
And he actually just posted his first podcast episode because he wanted to know about it, and I helped him with that. And, you know, like I say, you got to help people because it's not a competition. If his show
right.
gets more hits than mine, God bless you, man. Have fun
exactly.
with it. Congrats. And too many people take it for, you know, at the end of the day, if I'm not number one on Apple Podcasts, it's not going to kill me. It's no, not going to take food off my table. We're good. I'm having fun. I'm meeting new people. I'm making friends. You know, after today, I can count Brian Sebastian as a friend of mine. And that's right. Awesome.
Because your wife probably also took care of my mom's husband.
Yeah.
And you know where my mom lives.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Not a coincidence. And when I come into Georgia, yeah, of course I'm going to be calling you.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. And I think it's so cool that when I'm at work, technically I protect your mom. And that is so cool.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You just never know. That's why you should always be nice to people, because you never know who's going to come out of the blue and actually help you.
Yeah.
You don't know that.
Exactly. Exactly. And I know you're welcome on here anytime. I don't care what it's about, who it's for, or if you got anything to promote, all you got to do is call and say, hey, Fat Boy, I need to record. And I plug in and hit a button and we're there. And that's an open invitation.
Well, it'll be one of those things where, you know, you talk to, you know, some of my other co-hosts.
Yeah.
That'll be fun for you. That will make it fun for me, you know.
All you got to do is send them my way. I'll talk to them anytime. Like I say, you know, I've talked to Sherry. And so, yeah, anybody, man, I feel like everybody has something to offer. And because I'm not a traditional interview, I can I can get more out of people because I don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
I look at it this way. Yeah, I can ask the standard questions you've answered 500 times today alone. And everybody has heard that. Everybody will get to the first 3 minutes of this show and say, nope, and hang up or get rid of it.
Exactly.
Or they can get to know you a little bit, and they're invested in you then. And they want to see, okay, when we got to check this out. I like this guy. And it helps everybody. And if nothing else, you're human to people now. You're not, oh, he's the host of this, or he's this, or he's... No, that's Brian. Cool. Let's check it out. And I like that.
Hey, like I tell people, you just never know who would rescue you. It won't be the person you expect it to be. Just never know. So be nice to everybody. You never know.
Exactly. And I learned...
I mean, like I said, I can tell you examples of, you know, like I said, when I met, you know, Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau, look where they are now.
Yeah.
Imagine if I pissed him off. It wouldn't be a good situation. No, I don't want him to interview me. You know, I remember when he pissed me off.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's funny. When I first started interviewing people, you know, I would find out their connections and all. You know, 6 months ago, if you told me that, you know, I know Vince Vaughn a little bit, I'd be like, dude, you got to get me Vince Vaughn. Now I look at it like this. I don't do that, one, because that's like people asking me for Norman Reedus's autograph. And two, if I do a good job, Vince's people will say, hey, you got to listen to this guy.
Absolutely.
You mind if we check him out and give him your number and all this? And
yep.
It'll happen. I've been doing this for a year. I'm not going to get the Rogan numbers yet. But now if there is anyone out there who wants to pay me $100 million to just be on their network, sold. But it's not
going to
happen today.
And again, the other thing about that, do what you love, and then it will follow. It is still true.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that they don't tell you. It's going to take you work to do it, and it may not happen overnight. And it may – would you still do it if it took you 10 years? That's the question to ask yourself.
Yep. Exactly.
Because that's how long it may take. The world has changed. But
exactly.
Would you do it? And the answer is I'm sure you would, because you like doing it.
I love doing it. You know, there are days when I'm not able to record at all. And there are some days when I'm able to do, I've got a couple of days where I've got 8 interviews lined up.
Wow.
And
that's good.
I love doing those just because it's, you know, I've got shows that are in the can that I'm putting out still. And it's just something I can put out there for people to forget for a minute.
Right. And that's very important.
Yep, definitely. Well, Brian, have you got a website or a Facebook or a YouTube or anything you want my people to look at? Just let them know.
Yes, I would tell them to go to www.theartofmontague.com. And it's just how it sounds. theartofmontague.com. Theartofmontague.com. You'll see what we're building. Environmentally friendly, sustainable, technology that you've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
building tiny houses, 65 tiny houses for people that have lost their houses. Mm-hmm. And it's a place for artists, poets, people in the music independent industry, and independent filmmakers who don't have a lot of money to do things. Mm-hmm. We're building it up, but also it's the right place to be because it's built on granite. We're having 10 acres of food that we plant ourselves because the fertilizer, the ground is not contaminated. There's no fracking. We don't have to worry about the earthquakes because we're on granite. Mm-hmm. We're high enough up above sea level that we don't have to worry about Chinese smog. Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about a tsunami. And the technology that I found around the world is the best in the world. It's just not all coming from America anymore. But unfortunately, we have fallen behind in technology. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is outside the U.S. But, you know, I still like to champion anything that comes from the U.S., you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just where we are. The earth has changed. You know, the country has changed. That doesn't mean it's a bad place. Everybody still wants to come here to make it, and they should. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know when I interviewed Sue Wong, you know, she told me about where she came from in China and, you know, how she came up. And she's, you know, built and lost more fortunes than I ever will. And it's because she's worked her tail off, and she is living the American dream now because of that. She worked for it.
And again, here's the other thing. Sue is a woman. She's Asian, but she's got some of the best designs in the world.
Yeah.
One of my co-hosts in the World of Fitness wore one of her $20,000 gowns at our Hollywood Film Festival in 2015.
Nice. And you know,
so when it comes to those things like that, those things really are important.
Yeah. And she did it. You know, nobody gave her anything, and she came and, like I say, you can work and you can live the American dream, you know. And I look at it this way, a $20,000 gown, I can go back to every piece of clothing I've ever bought, and I'm so cheap, I don't think everything I've ever bought is that much. And it's so awesome that, you know, her stuff is that great, because it is. I mean, I've looked at some of it, and I'm not a fashion guy, but I know what I like. And
see, and I have to deal with a lot of the fashion because of the girls, but also that world has brought me close to everything, too, because you want to be able to touch most things because you never know who you're going to meet.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's funny. I'm sitting here talking to a multimillionaire, and we just talked. I mean, it was like we were sitting down having coffee at Waffle House or somewhere, me and her. And it was just so cool. Mm-hmm. And like I say, you never know who you got.
That's right. And when it comes to those things like that, that stuff is very important, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Oh, man.
Yeah, so I would say the arttomontague.com.
Okay.
That's where a lot of people, you know, we're here to service people, but we're also here to help those people that need help. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for anybody who wants to donate to it because it's nonprofit, you know, just donate $5. But, you know, if you're invited out to the property or you're able to make it out, look to see what we built. Your mouth will drop at that point, you know.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Well, man, I appreciate it a bunch. And like I say, anytime, all you got to do is yell. Let your people know, all they got to do is yell. We will get this done.